Hey, Potters, welcome to episode 214 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Yay. Welcome to the melting hell that is Texas.
Good Lord, it's hot. And even with that little spritz of rain that we had last weekend, 2 weekends ago, it was not enough to stay. No, it was just no.
See, they're telling Texans that we're supposed to stay home because there's a spike in COVID cases. But this is Texas summer. We stay indoors anyway. No need to tell us to stay inside.
Yeah, the occasional outing to maybe go to the pool, and that's about it.
I don't know. Like, even when we're supposed to be at 101 tomorrow, not counting the heat index, and it's like, you know what? It's just too much effort to go over to the pool.
The heat index today was 108. I went out in 108 to wash my car. I'm on top of it.
It's so hot that I'm not sure, now that they've fixed my ceiling actually a couple of hours ago, I'm not sure I want to go out on my porch and spray paint the props that I need to be spray painting right now, just because it's going to be so darn hot.
Do it at 5 a.m. It'll be at least a little cool.
It'll still be 81 degrees outside.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying it's going to be, you know.
And 70% humidity.
Yeah, it's not going to be like Dreamboat time, but at least it's not 100.
That is true. I will still probably have to force myself to do it while, you know, the weather is good and while opportunity has struck.
Yeah, because
clearly
we don't
it
know.
Is a sign.
The weather has been weird enough this year, on top of the strangeness that is 2020, that we're getting our storm season later than normal this year. So we get pop-up sporadic thunderstorms when we really shouldn't be. So it's kind of odd. It's still very hot. It's still very uncomfortable, but we're getting these random storms and you're like, oh, this is weird. So we have to kind of combat that at the same time.
But while it has been burning hot outside, I have been uber productive again.
Yay!
When it comes to some cosplay things and some not so cosplay things.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just finished my ceiling today, I took a short break from cosplay since there are parts of my cosplay I can't work on without being able to go outside. So while I've been indoors and working on things, let's see, I've been doing some cross stitching. So you can see my lovely gamer swag there. I have a nerd wall that I'm building up with all these different cross stitches. I framed Val's birthday present that I've owed her for forever and a day.
It's fine.
Eventually, I will deliver this, but, you know, COVID. Let's see, what else did I do? I started crocheting again. And this is not cosplay related specifically, but I have started working on this because my hope is that... Why did my crochet hook fall out of its place? Oops.
Because they do that.
And we'll stick it back where it belongs. There we go. My hope is that I can acquire or accumulate a collection of scarves and socks to donate to homeless and domestic shelters this fall or winter. Because I have a ton of yarn and a need to use it, and I don't need more stuff. But they definitely need stuff. So I worked on that while I was indoors. I did break my one rule. I bought one piece of fabric.
Oh, no. Good Lord, that's shiny.
Can you see the pattern on it?
Not at all. It's really out of focus.
Well, I'll see if I can take a picture and send this, but actually...
That's a little bit better from where you are. Don't hold it up to the camera. It looks like it's got a weird weave to it.
It does, and that's why I bought it.
Oh, that is so weird.
This is literally woven fabric. It is wire.
Oh.
It's not fabric proper. It's actually linked like chainmail.
Hmm.
This is actually, it's woven in European foreign one. So this is actually woven like chainmail. So it has this lovely mithril-like appearance.
Yeah. Interesting.
And it jingles a little bit. You can't hear it because it's so subtle, but in the hands, it jingles when it hits itself. So I bought this to use as, of course, fake chainmail.
Of course.
I don't know what kind of fabric this is. If anybody is interested in it, I can give you the item number because there's no barcode on it to tell me what this is.
Yeah, you
They
need to
actually
tell
had
me
to
the item
pull
number.
it up in the register, so I am happy to provide the item number that goes with this in case anybody else wants to, check their local joins for this, because this is pretty freaking cool fabric, man. This is the closest you get to chainmail without actually having chain.
The weird
So
stuff you will
cool.
find in the remnant bin sometimes. You're
I
just like,
know.
what is this and why is this? I think I need this.
I wasn't looking for that. In fact, all I really needed was just a piece of remnant fabric because I need to make a new cover for my motorcycle seat since the Texas summer has destroyed it. And I found one of those. That was pretty straightforward. So that's going to be my other non-cosplay project to work on. But this was sitting next to it, and I just stared at it for a second, going, "That's European 4-in-1. Holy crap, it's chainmail as fabric. I need this."
I would have just
And
looked at
what's
it and been
more,
like, what is this?
it's 3/4 of a yard too, so that should be plenty enough. It's not enough for a full shirt if I just wanted a whole shirt, but it's pretty darn close.
You get a lot out of that.
Oh yeah, I can definitely get sleeves, a bottom, and a dickie
Yeah.
to put underneath pretty much anything. And I won't have to wear actual
There you
chainmail.
go. There's a plus.
Although the Ring Lord now sells plastic rings,
Of
so
course they do.
that's what they used in Lord of the Rings so that it wouldn't weigh 20 pounds, because your average chain shirt does weigh 20 pounds.
Pounds.
Yeah. And then the last thing, which you're going to laugh at me.
When do I not?
Okay, you're going to laugh out loud
There we
at
go.
me. I have to take the clamps off. I have clamps sitting on it.
I have my bottle of water away from me so I
These
can't drink
are.
anything.
These clamps, incidentally, are from Harbor Freight, and they're fantastic. They're very strong.
I use them for my lighting rigs.
They're good for anything around the house, not just for prop making.
Very true.
They will also smart if they clamp onto body parts. So if your fing well, if your finger's not fast enough moving out of the way and it gets you, it hurts.
Keep your hands away from the clampy clamp side.
It's
Oh,
plaster.
it's plaster. Hey.
Come on. Oh, now that I clamped it shut, it won't open. See, I told you were going to laugh it loud at me. This actually
Demonstration may have failed.
might not open. I'm trying to pry it without shattering it because it is plaster. See, what I ended up doing while I'm trying to break this apart, I will show you, is for those who have seen my ranger costume that I sometimes wear to Alcon, I ended up building a staff to go with it, and it is a light-up staff that has a quartz crystal at its tip. And this is real quartz. This is not, fake crystal. But it shattered when I took the staff out of my car, and originally I had taken the crystal out of the staff because I knew that was going to happen. And so I laid it very carefully on top of the box. I cushioned it in fabric. And of course, what happens when I go to take everything out of the car is it falls off the fabric and straight onto the ground. And you can actually see there's a crack. You can see the crack in the light. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's cracked in half. And I have glued it together more than once. So I had been itching for the longest time to make a copy of it. One that does not have a crack in the middle of it. So go figure. I'm using a nail file now. Hopefully the nail file doesn't shatter. See, this is what I should not have clamped this shut. It was not originally clamped shut. But what I did is I cast the crystal
Okay.
in plaster. And what I ended up doing is the first time that I cast this, I know that when you make a two-part mold, you're supposed to use registration keys. And for those who don't know, registration keys are little unique markings in the mold so that when you try and put the halves back together, they fit precisely. They don't slide all over the place. And so when I did the first one, I was like, okay, I need to do registration keys. I need to wait for the plaster to set just a little bit so that it's just a firm so that I can poke into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't make registration keys while plaster is soft. It does not work. And so I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and then I waited too long. The plaster ended up... it was soft, 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 and then suddenly it was hard. It wasn't like there was a transition period where I could go poke it, because I did check it often. But no, it thwarted me.
It thwarted you. Of course it did.
And it is thwarting me now, which annoys the ever-living daylights out of me, because the second time I cast it, I knew that I wouldn't catch it again with the registration keys. So what I ended up doing is I cut a piece of poster board and I cast the first half of it in a little jewelry box, which you can see.
Yeah.
About this big. This is lined with wax paper. Originally, I lined it with aluminum foil, which is why you see the pattern on it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the foil still works. I just didn't want to lose the box. So I cast the first half, put the poster board down after it was dried, poured the second half, because I found out the hard way that plaster literally sticks to everything.
It sticks to everything, and that's probably why you're having trouble opening the sucker right now.
Well, the thing is that with the two halves, I did pull them apart before they had completely hardened. And that was on purpose, so that they could dry, because plaster retains moisture really well. And it needs to desiccate to set. It needs to dry, basically. And what I did with this is I coated each half in Mod Podge hard coat. And I completely let it dry. And I did multiple coats. And I think the clamp, since I clamped this so hard, actually got some of the tack in the hard coat.
Yeah.
Well, I will work on this as the episode progresses, and if I can get this open by the end, then I will show you what's inside, because I actually did a really good job on the casting itself, but I did learn in the casting of this that there's a lot of bubbles in casting plaster.
Oh, absolutely.
And I ended up having to fill them in with spackling. And then I hard coated it, just so that it would solidify. So we will see how well this works. The other thing that I did not do that I remembered in hindsight is that, of course, when you see this mold, like so, it's completely solid all the way around. So that even if I opened it, like, where am I going to pour the stuff? I need to drill a porthole.
You need to do a porthole. Usually they do it at the top or the bottom.
I'm going to do it at the top.
Which will also make it easier for you to open it up later.
Well, that too. But also, if you don't have a Black & Decker RTX instead of a Dremel, these things are fantastic. If you don't want to pay the full price for a Dremel, this is what I use, and this is what I'm going to use to drill the hole. In fact, I've already got a drill bit on it. I love my pseudo Dremel so much. This is the best cosplay tool I have. This is better than scissors. This is better than any box cutter or saw or anything else.
Better than craft foam?
I love my multi-tool. It is better than craft foam. I love my multi-tool so much.
Amber, that might be a sin. Nothing can be better than craft foam.
And yes, Wave Rod, the copy will not be all the originals cracked up to be. Actually, it will be identically cracked, because it's a copy. So yeah, that's how busy I've been in quarantine.
That's way busier than I've been, that's for sure. Only thing that I got to show off is my Halloween fabric came in, so I made more face masks. Yay. Aww. This one's really cool. I've never seen these before. I'm sure that they've existed for a while, but they were new to me. So I was like, yeah, this will be fine. Because I have a feeling we're not going to get a traditional Halloween this year. So I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to be using my fabric for. I'm going to be making a load of masks for myself and my family, not for sale anywhere else. And they do have a little filter pouch and whatnot. This one's 3 layers because of the fabric quality. This one's 4 layers. And I always put interfacing in it too, just so that way you got a nice little stiffness to it. on top of the filter pack. So yeah, made a bunch of these for the family, made them for me. And really the only thing I've got to bring to cosplay updates is recent news that more conventions have been canceled, either because they have taken the due diligence to cancel ahead, knowing that things are not getting any better in the States, or if those who had to be canceled because city government said you had to cancel. And the biggest one of all of them is Dragon Con. Dragon Con has canceled for this year. They're doing an online version during
So they
that
haven't
weekend.
canceled, they've just
They've moved it
changed.
online, yeah. In their mind, it kind of is canceled though, because with Dragon
Well,
Con and.
some cons are straight up canceled.
Yeah, some of them are straight up canceled. I think because of the way Dragon Con runs itself, it's very weird to not have it as an in-person event, because that's part of the joy of being there, is seeing all these people and the crazy costumes and getting to experience and live that. Doing an online version of it's kind of like, it'll be different, but I know it's the safe thing that they need to do, and I'm glad that they finally made a decision of we cannot do it this year. We need to do something else. So I'm glad for that. It does royally suck though for all of the small businesses and the artists who are just losing so much income from this. I know while it's great that conventions are not going on because the pandemic is still a very big thing, I'm also aware that it's very unfortunate that all of these artists and businesses are not making the income they need this year. So, if you have some spare bucks and you happen to know that your favorite artist isn't able to go out to cons, go buy something from them. Go to their online store. Make sure to go to all the conventions' websites because a lot of them have like virtual artist alleys and virtual business listings, and you can just go there and start shopping. So, try to spend your money with them so that way they can kind of recoup from some of the loss. But yeah, that's all I got for updates because Dragon Con is a pretty big thing, and we were kind of sitting here waiting, going like, "Okay, Dragon Con, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? We're waiting on you. What are you gonna do?"
The
PAX
next
West
chips
said
to fall
no.
will be, well, the next chips to fall will be BlizzCon.
It already canceled a while ago.
Fully canceled or online?
Yeah, fully canceled.
Okay. I'm a little surprised they didn't opt to do it online, given that Blizzard is an online platform.
I just think it probably wasn't in the cards. Their plan is to hold something in early 2021 instead. Now, that may be online. It'll depend on the situation. But given that the situation is not really improving, it probably will be online. But for certain, for 2020, it is canceled and there's no other replacements lined up.
I saw that San Diego Comic-Con is going online.
Yep, they are online. Let's
We are
see.
in a little less than 2 weeks
Yeah.
from this recording.
And Crunchyroll Expo is doing theirs online as well. They just recent, funny enough, they just recently released their cosplay contest rules. Apparently, their grand prize is like 5 grand. I'm like, good lord! I
Oh,
know, right?
for being online?
Yeah, for being online. But they're doing it very, very differently from other people. You have to submit a portfolio beforehand. Your costume doesn't need to be finished. It'll get reviewed, and then if it's selected, you have to provide a like 30-second or 1 minute video presentation. So it's
Okay.
got a lot more depth to it than a lot of other online contests. So it's just like, oh, okay. But what's funny about it is you need to have a virtual Crunchyroll Expo pass in order to be included. However, there's no information on how to get such pass because it does not exist yet.
Do not pass go.
Yeah,
Do
so it's
not
like,
collect 5 grand.
how are you supposed to sign up if you don't have a badge, but there's no information on how to get said badge? I don't understand.
Clearly, you just have to wait for them to provide the information about this phantom badge.
Right. Though I have been strongly considering signing up for the San Diego Comic-Con one because all of the winners in their categories are getting guaranteed badges for 2021. And as somebody who has spent 7 years in the badge game for them and has not succeeded once, that's a really nice incentive.
I sat there as soon as I saw the announcement that they were going online. Which, if you want to see what they're doing on Twitter, you can look for the hashtag ComicCon at home. This is the only time in my life I'll probably be able to attend because everybody can attend it without a ticket. I don't have to go through that crazy online ticketing system.
Right, and it is a crazy system. It's an efficient system, but it's an awful system. Because again, 7 years, I still have had no luck with it, so go fig.
Which, speaking of figs, they are still selling their exclusive Funko.
Of Of course they are.
They still have ticket packages. You can still buy a ticket to the con and get some extra swag and such mailed to you.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have to have one to see all the panels and such. So all the content is free.
Which is kind of nice.
The extra stuff, you pay.
Yeah.
Which is fully how I expect a lot of cons will end up recouping some of the costs that they're having to acquire because of all of the cancellations and such. Because still had to book hotels, still had to book venues, still had to make deals and pay deposits and all that good stuff.
Yeah, some of them.
You know how that works.
Yeah, some of them, it depends on the contracts that they sign, given that in some cities and states it is considered, you know, emergency stuff is going down, you know, they get refunded, they get those fees waived, so it's not a total loss, but in some other cases, they didn't have that option. So,
right.
It's a mixed bag there.
Does COVID count as an act of God?
I don't know anymore. Maybe some people will argue yes. I'm sure some insurance companies will probably say no, so they don't have to cover it. Because, you know, insurance. But yeah, that's my cosplay update. It's more newsy stuff, but hey.
That's okay. A lot of people are still attending conventions as best as they can during these times. Most of them are virtual at this point, so
yeah.
Most people are going to attend them online. So those sorts of bits of news are very important. Because it's also a welcome distraction.
Yeah, right.
Because I know people whose family members have been affected.
So same.
It's hard. And sometimes that distraction is really welcome. And our heart goes out to those who are having to actually not only deal with being infected, but frontline workers who are trying to help everyone. You know, people who are working on food bank lines, mm-hmm. trying to make sure everybody's fed. People who are working with unemployment insurance, trying to make sure that everybody can keep a roof over their head, that sort of thing. It's really rough, and our heart goes out to you guys. So thank you for those who are, you know, helping serve during this time. All right. Now for the topic of this episode, which is actually going to be a book review by yours truly.
Yay!
I chose a book called Foam Armor Fast. It was part of the Cosplay Humble Bundle that we indicated from last month. It is by Builderan of Punished Props. Hope you guys enjoy. Hey guys, so today we're going to be reviewing Foam Armor Fast by Builderan of Punished Props. This is actually one of the books that was offered as part of the large Cosplay Humble Bundle option that was offered last month. So if you have the chance, keep an eye on Humble Bundle in case any more cosplay bundles come up, as they are awesome. So of course, the book starts out with a little bit of about the author. If you don't know who Builderan is, I highly recommend that you check out Punished Props on his page. So if you haven't read it, you may want to go back and read that one first, because this book does not go into very much detail on actual armor making techniques. So if you need a little bit more details, there's a few of his books there on the screen, and you can have a look. I would also like to add that we did interview Bill back in the day on our show, so of course you can search our archives for that interview. It was wonderful, and he is a... The way that his book starts out with safety precautions made me extremely happy. I would be much happier if more books discussed safety implications first, or if they even discussed them at all, because honestly, whenever you're working with armor and props, a lot of the techniques and materials you'll be working with involve some very smelly chemicals and things that may or may not cause cancer. And so, of course, safety should be a top consideration. I do note that most authors will tell you to work in a highly ventilated space. I would almost argue myself that all of this work should be done outdoors, if at all possible. Not just indoors with ventilation, but please just take it outdoors. The ventilation will be much better whenever you're working with this sort of stuff, with this sort of thing. But of course, as you see on the screen, respirators and safety glasses are definitely considerations you should have, especially if you're working with things like fiberglass or, in this case, sanding foam, which creates a lot of dust. So in the first section of the book, following the safety precautions, Bill starts out by talking about priorities on your costume, compromising, and needs versus wants. While this may be a little discouraging to cosplayers to see so early on in the book, don't be discouraged. All he's really saying is that you need to determine what parts of the costume you absolutely have to have done to make the character as obvious as possible and as accurate as you feel comfortable with. Of course, whenever you're making cosplay, you get to have 2 out of 3 options. You get good, fast, and cheap. Well, in this case, since you're trying to do it fast in a week or less, you have the options of good or cheap, depending on your budget and depending on how much you feel you need to have completed for the character to be recognizable. So, unfortunately, early on in the process, you're going to need to make some hard decisions and determine what your priorities are. Bill talks about time management and organization. So one of the first things that you'll have to do is to list out all the different parts of your costume. I would argue and add to the book that you'll probably want to hang on to this list even after you're finished, because you're going to have to pack all of this away to transport to the convention with you. So I'd go ahead and hold on to this. After he covers making your listing, he also covers making milestones or goalposts. I had a little bit more trouble with this section of the book simply because it's going to be an experiential thing. If you haven't done some of the techniques in the book, you won't necessarily know how long it's going to take you to do it and in what order you need to do it in order to have everything finished by the time your convention is done. So basically, you'll end up with a calendar that has certain tasks that you have to have done by each day just prior to your convention. So unfortunately, I do wish he gave a little bit more in the way of maybe tips or suggestions on how to determine how long it takes to build certain pieces of your armor, or maybe just in what order you might wish to put them in order to get the most efficiency out of your time. Anybody who has worked with sewing or clothing is probably pretty familiar with the concept of taking your body measurements so that you can make things that fit you. However, I did want to note that this is something that I had never thought of and is a brilliant idea. This is a foam ruler that he's holding up to himself. You basically just take a strap of foam and you mark measurements with a standard ruler. That way, the foam can bend around body shapes or curves of any sort and still keep accurate measurements. So I just wanted to point out that this is a brilliant idea and I'm going to be borrowing it for myself. After he's covered the measurements section, Bill does talk about templates and then actually tracing these onto your foam so that you can go through the process of making the armor. Again, if you've worked with clothing, sewing, or basically assembling any sort of kit that is not pre-made for you, you're probably familiar with the concept of templates, so I'm not going to review too much of that here. It's pretty standard fare. Adding details to your armor, cutting it out, and then assembling it. This section is a little bit more difficult if you haven't made armor before, because you need to not only determine what you're going to keep and what you're going to throw out for your priorities on your character, but you also have to go ahead and assemble it without making as many mistakes as possible, because of course you want the process to be quick. So once you've cut out all of your pieces, and if this book does get an update, I would also add scroll saw to your options for cutting foam quickly and accurately. You would go ahead and add your details. I generally prefer adding details with the fun foam rather than doing the etching of the lines and then expanding them with a heat gun, simply because the fun foam is going to be faster every time. Painting your armor. In this case, the book is a little bit outdated because he recommends using Krylon Fusion, which was fantastic when it was manufactured. Unfortunately, Krylon does not make the Fusion line anymore. I did want to point out, though, that he has some really good tips in terms of Plastidip, which is a flexible coating that won't make your paint crack. I didn't know that there was a metallic Plastidip and there's a clear coat Plastidip. So the next time I go to the hardware store, cheers to you, Bill, I'm going to go pick some up. Attaching the armor. How are you going to put it on your body? I notice here that Bill does detail having a harness system, which is actually pretty standard for putting underneath armor. However, he doesn't necessarily go into the making of the harness. And I think that could be really beneficial here, especially if you're in a hurry or if you don't necessarily want to do sewing. So I think it would be helpful if, in addition to showing the picture, he kind of detailed a little bit of the very basic process that he went through in making the harness, just to kind of speed the process up. All in all, in this book, I found it to be a very solid book. However, I would say that because this is meant to be an addendum to his foam smithing trilogy, if you don't already know how to make armor, this book probably isn't going to be very helpful to you, even with the descriptions and the pictures that he's shown. In fact, I would almost argue that if you want to know how to make armor fast and to be secure in your own knowledge of it, I would actually say go purchase his foam smithing trilogy instead of this book. Go through, learn the techniques and the details behind actually making the armor, and then simply practice them over and over and over again until they become such a second nature to you that you can do it fast. Because then you can break down and make one of these builds in a week or less without having to worry about, am I doing this technique right? Does this look right? Am I doing things in the right order? And adding to your stress levels. So, while this is an excellent book, I would say that if you are more concerned with the techniques behind making armor and then being able to do it fast, go ahead and have a look at his foam smithing trilogy, which you can find on his website, and you can find that right at the beginning of this review. We can also put it into the show notes, and then have a look at his techniques and simply practice them. As with anything, practice makes perfect. But I would love to thank Bill of Punished Props for writing this book, as it is a lovely book. And everything here is, in fact, solid. He is a wonderful teacher for the community. I highly recommend going to see his shop, Punished Props Academy, as well as his online videos and tutorials of how to do the techniques that he describes in his book. And we're back.
Hey.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. During the break, I did get my mold open. It shattered. I'm sorry. But that's okay. It was a practice attempt anyway, honestly.
There you
And
go.
I'm not saying that to save my pride. It's because I bought this stuff. This is InstaMold. This is actually the real stuff I'll be working with, and I'll be doing a product review next episode on this stuff. But I had done the plaster as an attempt to kind of get back into the habit of casting. See if I could remember what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, go through and try and find any pitfalls before I use the much more expensive stuff. Because InstaMold is not cheap, even with a coupon. Plaster is cheap. I think that art plaster is 10 bucks, and the container is a good 2 feet tall. And it's full of powder.
Yeah.
That little InstaMold thing is 25
Yeah.
before coupon. So, yeah, I wanted to practice with the cheap stuff first.
just to kind of get a feel for what you're doing, try to remember, you know, okay, where does everything go? How do I make this happen?
And I wanted to make sure that it would actually work with a 3D object. Because the first time I cast it was a one part mold with a single surface that I was molding. This is a 3D object, so that was my first two part mold. So, lesson learned,
Yeah.
many lessons learned. Not the least of which is do not use the same spoons that you use with food.
There's a thought.
It's not like I ate from the spoon afterward.
Ah, goodness.
This is one of those moments where if y'all remember back in a previous show when I was using spackling, I kept having to show it on the screen and go, "This is not frosting, do not eat this." Because I'm sure that there are people in life, for the same reason that you have to put do not use in bathtub on hair dryers, that will do it. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why we have warning labels. So
Right.
every time I see this sort of thing, this is why I tell people, even though it may seem obvious, eat. Plaster is one of those things. Do not eat, especially this kind, which hardens with water, and your body is 70% of that.
There's a thought.
Yeah. But hopefully the review of Foam Armor Fast was useful for you guys. I know that since I've been in quarantine, I've really kind of gotten the itch to start working on props and armor again. Especially now that I can work outside again and I can spray paint and I can prime and I can do all of the fun stuff that you get to do with props that you don't get to do with.
Which is super
So,
helpful.
yes. It's kind of nice to be able to jump from project to project to project, even though generally I don't like doing that because then you kind of lose your place. But with having been in quarantine, and I don't know if some of you Potters out there feel this way, but sometimes I just get bored really quickly with what I'm working on. And it's nice to just kind of change it up a little by having several projects I can rotate around.
Mm-hmm.
When I get bored of a thing, or if I can't work on a thing, then I have two or three other things I can look at. And I'm still getting cosplay done.
Yeah.
Just many different pieces of many different cosplays at once. So, yeah. All right. Well, that was all I had, unless you had anything else for this show.
Not that I have.
Awesome. Well, then we will call an end to this episode 214 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you'd like to share what you're working on with us, or share your favorite cosplay adhesive that you should not eat, or heck, share your favorite Nick Cage movie. We're still discussing that on our social media, which of course you can find here.
Down in the corner by Amber. You can't miss it. Deep.
Or of course, if you'd like to correspond with us directly, you can email us podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, we will see you guys in episode 215. Wear those masks, stay safe and healthy, and happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, guys.